There were about 2.5 million colonists living in America on the day independence was declared. And when it was, many people didn't know what to do. Historians say in 1776, about half of the people were not sure whether to side with Great Britain or the rebellion. Of those who did know what they wanted, roughly 20% were loyalists. Harold Selesky is associate professor of history at the University of Alabama. He says loyalists came from all walks of life. They were northerners and southerners, rich landowners and poor farmers, not to mention American Indians and some slaves. Some were loyal to the crown out of convenience. Others believed in a cause.
The revolutionaries are the ones who say there is not enough in the British imperial connection worth preserving at this point. The people who become loyalists would say, there still is. We need to keep this. This is still an important cultural, emotional connection, economic as well, and we need to do more to keep it going.
Were they organized other than, of course, being part of the government or loyal to the local government?
Well, yeah, they are organized. The problem for the loyalists, however, is that the revolutionaries are much better organized at the grassroots level. They have an appealing program that they can try to sell ideologically and intellectually to the population. Less imperial control of your lives. Get rid of that intrusive, corrupt British imperial government. And the loyalists do not have the same opportunity to sell a program, and they lose the organizing battle at the grassroots.
Yes, there were some who were loyal to whomever they were speaking with.
There is always that situation, indeed. And it varies. A lot has to do with the presence or absence of the British Army. If the British Army is in the neighborhood, those who have an affinity for imperial control tend to come out and say, oh, thank you very much. Oh, you're here. Now we will be safe. Legitimate civil government will be reestablished and those revolutionaries will be punished, right? The British Army never has enough troops to maintain, as it were, a garrison or a soldier in every town in the 13 colonies. And when the British Army invariably goes to the next town or proceeds on its military campaign, those people vilified by the loyalists as revolutionaries come knocking at the door and say, what was that you were saying to the British Army? You seem to have revealed your true colors here, and we're now going to have to do something with you.
This was a civil war to a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely true. Civil war in some places more so than others. The most notorious civil war would be in South Carolina. It turns in 1780, 1781 in South Carolina into a very vicious, cutthroat, guerrilla-style civil war. You also have some of that same kind of animosity displayed in no man's lands around British bases, especially around New York, Westchester County, Fairfield County, Connecticut, northern New Jersey.
And people change sides.
Absolutely. Though I think what is interesting and in some sense remarkable is the depth of consideration that very many people, not everyone, but certainly a good number of people, gave to the problems of the imperial connection. What are we going to do now? This is very tough. The outcome is by no means certain. If we were, as the revolutionaries argued, to sever this connection with the imperial government, what are we going to do? How are we going to reestablish order and orderly government and a functioning society? And that, of course, is a situation that they worked on with great intelligence, some would say genius, over the course of 30, 40 years, the federal constitution being one of the fruits, the framework that allowed them to proceed to the establishment, reestablishment of orderly government.
What happened to the loyalists after the war was over?
About, if you take 500,000 as a rough total of the people who have some loyalist sentiment, about 100,000, somewhere between 80 and 100,000, emigrated to places like New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and what became Upper Canada. That's roughly the modern province of Ontario. The rest of them, the residual 80%, stayed home, stayed where they were, and were reintegrated into American society.
Some go back to England?
They don't go back. The most notable people of the loyalist exile community in England are native-born Americans. So they're actually going to a society that they've only, if they have lived in it, they've only lived in it for a while, and it is not native to them. Yes, they do. There is a contingent of loyalists in London trying to press for the British government to repay them for their losses during the war. Mm. They don't succeed.
Harold Selesky is associate professor of history at the University of Alabama.